a post-show and post it online at democracynow.org. Hala Rerich is participating in the Gaza walk from Cairo to Rafah. She's an 18-year career diplomat who resigned from the State Department over the Biden administration's Gaza policy. She was the Arabic language spokesperson for the State Department. That does it for our show. We have three job openings. Check them out at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
At Intersection, it's not just about my moves. It's about yours, too. See Coop Guy?
Hey.
He has a green light, but before he can turn, he's got to wait for oncoming traffic to clear. And at the same time, make sure no one's in the crosswalk. And dog walking lady, when she's crossing, she should always check for turning traffic, even if she has the walk signal. There's a lot going on at intersections, but when it all comes together, it's intersection perfection. See and be seen.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's currently 25 seconds before 6 o'clock here on WUSB Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And in 5 seconds, it will be exactly 6 o'clock, and it will be time for another edition of Off the Wall. And good evening. It's another edition of Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, and I'm joined on the other side of the room. Well, microphones are still being adjusted by Kyle.
Hi.
How you doing?
On the surface I'm okay, but I got a lot a lot on my plate, let's say. Like, I'm fixing to be a healthy, well-adjusted person in this era.
Well, save room for dessert. This is what I say when people say they have a lot on their plate. Because there's a lot to come. There really is. We have so much to discuss tonight. You know, we were going to talk about, like everybody else, the feud, the big feud going on between the two idiots, Elon Musk and Donald Trump. And, you know, it's funny how that completely pales in comparison based on real life events. So we're going to just acknowledge it, that it's funny, that it's stupid, that it's everything we predicted, and that it's indicative of what's wrong with us, that we care about people like this, that we let them have so much power and so much control. And now, hopefully, we can work together to figure out how to undo that. And we have, what's it called, Kyle, on Saturday? King's Day? Anti-King's Day?
No King's Day. There will be 1,800 protests, I believe.
That's what I heard.
Around this nation, in contrast to the nationalistic military event celebrating Trump's birthday.
Well, it's a bunch of things. It's Flag Day. It's Trump's birthday. It's also the anniversary of which military is it exactly? The Army? The
I
Navy?
I believe the Army.
Is it the Army? Okay.
I mean,
250 years
same.
Or something? Well, in the end, it really is. Yeah, it's kind of similar.
You know what I learned?
What?
There are only 400,000 National Guard troops.
Really? And then they run out.
That's it.
All right, we're going to be analyzing that in great detail in the minutes and months ahead for sure. Military and enforcement and all that. Let's go back to Saturday. Now, no King's Day. I didn't see this coming. The first I heard about it was when we ran across that random crowd of people demonstrating against Trump. And they told us about it. We had heard about the parade, the military parade, the unprecedented military parade in this country down the streets of Washington, D.C. It's going to cause untold damage to the street, not to mention to the psyche of the country. But it has basically inspired all these demonstrations against this sort of thing. And if Kyle's to be believed, 1,800 of them will be taking place around the country. And I guess you can go to indivisible.org to find out if there's one near you. There's probably other websites as well.
I like people who are optimistic about a show of force, and I mean a la Raza by the people.
Raza for Gaza.
Raza for Gaza.
I saw that. I saw that on a shirt.
We saw that on a shirt. It's a a Latin phrase, Latin American phrase, or Spanish phrase from the Mexican population that means the people.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's Mexican, but historically. And, I think if you just, play with the numbers in your head, depending on what you want to see in this country. But that old adage of there are more of us is wildly applicable to the present circumstance. And so you take that 1,800. I mean, know that the forces that be, DHS, whatever, whomever is possibly tapping their fingers and wondering about how this is going to play out, they are planning on the math behind this. So 1,800 times 1,000 people, okay, that's fine. But then 1,800 times 10,000 people, that's 10,000 at each. I know it won't be that. Will be larger than others.
And there might be more than 1,800.
That's right. Exactly. There could be 2,000. There could be 2,500. There could be 3,000.
I'm just thinking of Los Angeles alone.
There's large cities, small cities, municipalities, community groups, clubs, block by block. But word is getting out that the 14th, people who want to reaffirm our democratic values and, let's say, wish to occupy democracy as it's become wildly vacant, in practice lately, have the opportunity to do something in unison around our nation, instead of sitting at home and watching this dumb parade. So
yes,
ignore that and find out where you can get involved, because those numbers, how many people show up, it matters. We need to drive home to those itty-bitty numbers of occupying forces in this country, in guardsmen and police forces and DHS. I mean, I'm sure they're lovely at a barbecue or whatever, but like, we're inviting them to witness our exercising of rights,
mm-hmm.
to freely assemble. And that is a value that I think people want to reaffirm, because the way the executive branch and this regime is wielding power is akin to royalty and the types of things this country was founded in opposition to.
Yeah, and if you just look at some of the things that are being said by those in power, it is so disturbing that how can you not react to that? How can you not speak out and let your voice be heard? It's scary. It is scary to hear. You just have to listen to them. Trump was talking to the people at Fort Bragg earlier, unhinged and just filled with desire to control and subjugate and all sorts of horrible things.
So, speaking of barbecues, have you seen L.A.?
Yeah, I have seen L.A. And look, first of all, I want to get ahead of the mass media before Saturday when they say that all the people that are a part of these protests are anti-American. They are the most pro-American people I could imagine, because they are standing up for democracy, they're standing up for freedom of speech, for individuality, and against militarization, oppression, hatred, all that sort of thing. So those are the people I stand with. Those are the people I believe are the true patriots.
Yeah, and tear gas and rubber bullets.
It's awful what's happening. But to speak to what's going on in L.A., you know, if you watch the mass media, you're going to get kind of a distorted view of it.
They are so disappointing.
But we were watching KTLA, which is the Los Angeles, I guess, CW station. And they have a lot of news coverage. They have more news, I think, during the day than any other program.
But they're muzzled. Like,
yeah.
Unbelievably muzzled.
Here's an example. Basically, if you're watching, you'll hear them say things like, and the police are firing non-lethal weapons at the demonstrators. And that demonstrator just got hit by a rubber bullet, and boy, that looks like it hurt. Maybe now he gets the message that he's supposed to not stand there. And what's this? They're throwing an object towards the police. I can't imagine why they would do that. What are they thinking that they're going to throw? And I sure hope that cop wasn't hurt. That is the tone, where basically the cops are just doing good. They're firing, quote-unquote, non-lethal weapons. And then we have this fake perplexion why are they reacting to being fired at with rubber bullets? That doesn't make any sense.
They fall over themselves.
They really do.
This reminds me of the Iraq-Afghanistan war, where you have people who are committing war crimes and you fall over yourself with how patriotic and how much you need to fawn and thank them. Like, it's sickening.
It is. It really is. And it's not even Fox. So there's no, it's not in your contract. You don't have to do this, but they do it anyway. They focus on things that are burning. I'm just going to touch on this for a little bit, but if you notice the things that were burning, I didn't realize until you brought this story to my attention, Kyle, the weaponization of Waymo. I don't even know where this article is from, but
I saw it on Blue Ski.
Okay, Blue Sky is what you're saying. Blood in the Machine, 100% reader supported, made possible by paying subscribers of that were not, unfortunately. But this article describes how what people were doing, and I gotta say this is a bit ingenious. they were using the Waymo app to summon Waymo cars. Now, if you don't know, Waymo is a taxi service that does not have drivers. You might remember them from such hits as honking at each other in a parking lot all night long and keeping the neighborhood up. That's the kind of thing that you can expect from Waymo. And there are also other things. I want to read a few excerpts from this article. But basically what they were doing was they were summoning these cars on their apps. The cars would show up, and then they'd light the cars on fire. So if you were wondering, well, how did they light all these cars on fire? Because the cars came to them. That's how they did it. You know, they didn't steal somebody's car. They didn't, carjack anyone. There was no violence. And, you know, lighting a car on fire, it's definitely vandalism. It's definitely destruction. It's not violent. So when I saw 6, 7, 8 Waymo cars all on fire, that's a statement. That is a real statement, and it doesn't hurt anybody. Yeah, it cost Waymo some money or their insurance company, and I don't feel bad about that. I feel bad about people whose families are being torn apart, people who are living in fear, people who are afraid to go to work, afraid to go to school, people who have lived here for decades, people who have family in this country and are worried that their family is going to be broken up at a moment's notice because of the pigs that are running this place right now that can't seem to tell the difference between violent criminals and innocent people who are building our communities and our society up and making it a better place. But those people that live in fear is a crime. And I don't give a crap about burning Waymos. I care about those people. And I think I speak for many of us when I say I want this crap to end. I don't want people to think that this is going to be their last day in their house that they pay for or going to their job that they work so hard at. I don't want that to be our country. And it's not. It's not who we are. You know, Trump and his ilk, they love to make the point that there are millions of people here that don't belong here. But that's only in his head that they don't belong here. You know, the fact of the matter is, this has been the case for a long, long time, that people have come here and they have done all the paperwork and gone through the process to get citizenship. And it has been easier in the past. It's harder depending on what color your skin is and what country you're from. It's gotten a lot harder more recently, which means more people don't have the documentation that would satisfy these right-wing zealots into thinking that they actually do belong here. But the fact of the matter is, we have had undocumented people in this country forever. And the reason it's not a big deal is because it's not a big deal. It's not something. These are not the criminals. These are not the people that are causing crime, fear, destruction in our neighborhoods. These are good people. Sure, there are exceptions, as there are in any group of people. You know, even priests, you can find an occasional bad one. That is the nature of this. But to basically paint them all with the same brush and say that they're all criminals is so ignorant, so hateful, so despicable. That alone needs to be torn down. But the fact of the matter is, our society is not at all degraded by immigrants. It is built up by immigrants. We are lucky to have people who work hard and want to build something new, different, foreign even. And that's what Los Angeles is. The city is in Spanish. Los Angeles. In fact, the Los Angeles Angels didn't seem to understand because they named it twice. Okay. Basically, this isn't anything new. People living here that you know, aren't quote-unquote legal. Now, the numbers might have grown over the years. That's certainly true. But also, cultural advantages, I think, have grown as well. But the end fact is, these are our friends. These are our neighbors. These are our relatives. And we are going to fight like hell to protect them. That's here in New York. That's in Chicago, that's in Los Angeles, that's in Kansas, it's everywhere. And you will find people on the right, you will find people on the left who agree on this. because this is not what people voted for. Oh, they may say it's what they voted for. It's not. To intimidate the person that you have known for decades and throw them into a country or a prison because of where they are from, because of a paper they don't have, there are no words to describe the anger that I'm feeling right now, no words I can say on the radio.
I don't disagree, and I don't want to diminish what you're saying, but you're stating the obvious. Like, that's the subtext.
I wish it were obvious to everybody.
What is less obvious? I mean, well, it ought to be. It ought to be obvious to everyone. What I think is less obvious is what status quo, why is unrest undesirable? And if we're at least talking about protests, what is the interest of this regime, of these forces, the executive and those enforcing that, on behalf of, I would say, the ownership class in this country? I mean, I'm looking at it in a more like structural academic way, because I hear your compassion and reiterating what our values are, our empathy for people that are just a part of that whole system is fully spot on. But I think what people need to understand is, like, the easy way from my, you know, from maybe Democrats' point of view or from my opinion would have been to vote in a regime that upholds sort of the values of this country and also allows for the continuation of our system, right? It's imperfect. A lot of people disagree with me and would want the entire thing to just disappear, dissolve, and turn into something else, or they're predicting it. But my point is, this is the hard way. We had the option in November to do the easy way. The country chose the hard way, and there's this thing of like, oh, well, the right saying, well, there's 70 million people voted in this regime, and a lot of them, that's easy. They did that under whatever impression they had or were told. But how it's playing out is not at all part of what they were told.
Mm-hmm.
Like you pointed out, they're going after everybody in these cities. And to me, what you're saying is, this is the canary. And I think a lot of the people that are standing up and fighting tooth and nail in all those cities you listed understand that the people being victimized because of the rhetoric around immigration and this blindness to our history of being a country of immigrants is really just evidence and or foreshadowing of what they really want, which is eradication of the other. So these people are the canaries in the coal mine, and people sticking up for them know it. So now here we are at the hard way, and the scope creep, okay, the moving goalpost is in effect. It's already been in effect with these raids. They're trying to get numbers up. I guess Steve Miller's been talking about increasing numbers.
Do not say that name in this studio.
He has quotas and all this stuff, and that's just so they can bloviate, but it's very short-sighted. I mean, that's just so they can get to the next phase and the next phase of, as I said, eradicating the other. But my point is, and this is really that unrest is due in certain circumstances because the easy way to have made reasonable change that still allowed for corporate bosses and the functioning, the machinations of our system to work, that opportunity has been lost. So what is going to occur is people doing what they have to do to still get the necessary change. The change that was encouraged during the campaign and could have occurred in November was still imperative. It's still important. It was needed. It was necessary. Whether you're talking about changing immigration policy and stuff like that, but know, trust, and understand that that was not in the interest of the current regime. They wanted it to be an issue. They didn't want to fix it. They didn't want the border to function, because then they wouldn't have been able to mislead, and I my opinion, use it as a political wedge to get out what they really didn't like, which was people that had empathy, people that wanted people that are on the other end of the class system, working hard, the constituent parts of our country, those that are forgotten, they don't want them to have support. And it is really only so that the exploitation can continue under the guise of fixing something that they can blame the other side for not having done. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent, but I think what you have to understand is the interest in the status quo is that the system will continue to exploit people, especially as it's being gutted, as the support and the empathy is vaporizing in the cloud of tear gas in our country. So I could go on and on and on. I don't have the time. I want you to be able to continue. But I just think that you have to remind yourself that this thing the media is falling over themselves in sympathy for the enforcement workers is really just so that this can all continue. And they want us to have our little signs and be minuscule and not disrupt and not be inconvenient so that the machinations of the status quo can continue. And that's where I think that friction and even vandalism and even spray paint and challenging the putting down of these actions, because that's what they do. As soon as the numbers get big, they try to put it down and try to encourage it not to come back and say, oh, you have your representatives, oh, you have your elections, oh, you have this and that and the other thing, so that the class exploitation can continue.
Yeah, well said. Well said, definitely. I think this is it's divided into two parts, really. What we see on television is mostly the vandalism, the destructiveness that happens at night. And, yeah, you know, that's not really constructive, but it is inevitable. It is completely understandable. And you don't have to endorse that to be able to say that. So, you know, when we're talking about the Waymos, or we're talking about spray paint, or basically throwing things back at the cops, that is what happens when you create a situation where there's tenseness between sides. And what happens, there are peaceful demonstrations in the daytime, don't get nearly as much press coverage, but these are the people that the regime really does not want in the streets. These are the ones that can affect change. The other ones can cause all kinds of controversy and chaos. And in actuality, they wind up serving the regime more, because you see it yourself. Turn on the news, you'll see people saying, well, who's waving all these foreign flags? Look at them. They're lighting these poor autonomous cars on fire and, you know, making the cops have to stay out late and things like that, you know. And average people say, yeah, that's bad. But if you look at the daytime, if you look at when people are demonstrating, what are they saying? Listen to them. You know, we were looking at a demonstration in Dallas yesterday, and the cops were doing the same thing, facing off against these people, except those people weren't doing anything. They were just standing there with signs, but they were still treated the same way, because in the end, they treat them all the same way. But, you know, the mass media, they want fire. They want chaos. You know, they want to see conflict. And like I said, it's inevitable. Back to the Waymos, though. I just wanted to read a couple of things from this article. Google suspended Waymo service to downtown L.A. and also in San Francisco, where solidarity protests unfolded. Why the self-driving cars were targeted remains unknown, is a refrain this reporter heard multiple times on TV and radio news. The reason does not seem so secret to a lot of people.
This is beautiful, and I want you to get into this, because it's upending the signs and symbols of the tech and the classes that are running this plantation.
They called them on purpose. Lit them on fire like that. A cameraman shooting on the scene the next day told me. The charred husks in a neat line do seem to suggest that was the case. Other witnesses and journalists who were there shared the same story. People summoned the cars to light them on fire when they arrived. Protesters were reportedly calling them spy cars as they were vandalized and set ablaze, and some noted how the cars can share data with the LAPD. And that might be something that people don't know, but it's true. Waymos are roving surveillance machines. 404 Media has reported the LAPD, as well as other police departments across the country, have obtained surveillance footage from Waymo vehicles and used it as evidence. Google, for its part, and by the way, Google owns Waymo, in case you didn't know. I didn't know that before. Google, for its part, confirmed that it hands over the data on request. Usually it says through court order, warrant, or a subpoena, but not always. No one that reporter spoke to would cop to having anything to do with actually burning the cars, much less discuss the reason the headline-grabbing tactic was deployed. But it might be noted that ICE raids are carried out using data provided by Silicon Valley companies. Most notably, Peter Thiel and Alex Karp's Palantir, which has a $30 million contract with ICE to manage a real-time surveillance system on immigrants. So you guys are in the crosshairs as well. So don't wonder why your cars are burning. This is why your cars are burning. So it's fascinating.
I could go on and on, but it is so interesting because it's true. It's not just that these it's the innovation that comes through actions, through protests like this, and it may not, as you said, may not be the thrust of people's messages and exercising their rights during the day, but it is. It upends the symbol, the meaning, semiotics of these businesses, giving us the crumbs. Like, we like tech because we're conditioned to just lap up the crumbs, just the little extra things that we get through these business models. They like tech because it can be employed to exploit every last one of us through our data, through our jobs, through using public rights of way, and this article and other people have made incredibly apt points about how these have supplanted taxi drivers and other people who, again, are not the owners necessarily, maybe of their license, of their medallion, but this is the kind of stuff that is branded to us as a very nice and friendly service, but when you're protesting and you understand the connections, like Google itself is an ad company and a search engine, but the connection, them having their fingers in businesses like this to perfect or to make use of tech IP and technology that they own and can leverage to create new businesses like this in monopolistic ways, is itself something that is not, that they don't want you to see as a problem, but protesters do.
And, you know, those, ironically enough, those very people who are supplanted by companies like Waymo's. Is it Waymo's or Waymo? Waymo. It's Waymo, right?
Waymo, yeah.
Okay. The very people who are supplanted by Waymo are the same immigrants. The same immigrants that are being targeted by ICE. So it's this perfect kind of attack vector that's been created, and it's sickening.
Imagine when truck drivers, all of their companies are consolidated and put out of business and replaced with robotic vehicles. Mm-hmm. Imagine how many of those will burn.
You've said this many times, but this, what we're seeing now, is practice for the future. And we mean this two ways now. Yeah, the truck drivers... Waymo is practice for the truck drivers, for how they're going to supplant them, take over their jobs, take over their vehicles. And the ICE raids, that's practice. The immigrants are practice. Look, the people at the head of this regime, Trump, Miller, those people, they have made no secret that they would like to do this to people like us, people who were born here, people who have lived here all their lives. They want the same thing to happen. Certain types of criminals, and they get to define what a criminal is, they want them put in a prison in El Salvador.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might think this is only aimed at so-called undocumented immigrants. It's aimed at every last one of us, and I just hope everybody can see that before it's too late to do anything about it.
Yeah, and the other point that's been made about these companies is they've shown fealty to this regime, right? They have, again, they have their interest, their business model they don't want threatened, so they bent the knee to this president and what he's doing, and they're happily providing their expertise in ways that help with this regime's aims. And it is itself symbolic when people push back against this that they do not have people's interests at heart. They really don't. They are self-interested. They only care about their own bottom line and protecting their businesses, and they don't want any accountability. I mean, that's the other part of this, the autonomous driving and replacing businesses with automation and stuff like that. There's no one to call at Google. Try to get someone that will pick up a phone and talk to you. They are unaccountable. And they will fight it all off in court if you try to sue them. They're well-heeled. I mean, maybe only, let's say, second only to the chemical industry. I don't know. Their lawyers are okay. But it's laughable. It's so hilarious.
Well, it's hilarious until it's not, and it really isn't hilarious because
definitely,
the power structure here is sickening.
To hear the media complex trying their best to act confused and have, you know, quizzical commentary.
Well, keep in mind,
in the face of something that's so clear and understandable,
many
like
of these media companies are owned by some of the same companies. That,
of course.
So maybe they have to take that stance.
Oh,
but if you think about
show.
It, if you think about it for 20 seconds, you'll realize, yeah, legitimate targets because of what they're doing.
You can
sign allegiance to the powerful people that imagine themselves in charge. And screw over the people, the common people. But you're going to hear from the common people one way or another.
Yeah, if you don't kick down, if you don't care for your workers, in, at least in symbolic ways, which they're, at this point, completely disinterested in doing. They want to strip the customers, the workers, everybody of their agency, of their rights, of any kind of wealth at all. They just extract every last bit out of people. And if at a certain point, the crumbs aren't enough. We don't care about your stupid technologies. We don't. We know what they are. They know who they, we know who they benefit. It's certainly not any of us.
Now, there has been lots of talk in D.C., in the White House, about arresting leaders. And I don't mean activists. I don't mean people who are leading demonstrations. I mean people who are leading states and cities. Talking about arresting Gavin Newsom, governor of California. Talking about arresting Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles. Both of whom I think are doing as good a job as they can do in this situation. Which is tough for them because, you know, they have to deal with people who are causing destruction and condemn that, but at the same time stand up for the right of people who are outraged at what is going on against the people of Los Angeles, California, and the United States. But Trump has made no secret of the fact that he wants to arrest various people. He and White House Border Czar Tom Homan have both floated the idea of arresting California officials for allegedly impeding deportations. Trump said yesterday, I would do it if I were Tom. I think it's great. I like Gavin Newsom. He's a nice guy, but he's grossly incompetent. And Gavin Newsom has pushed back by daring Tom Homan to arrest him, saying on Sunday, come after me. Arrest me. Let's just get it over with, tough guy. I don't give a damn. Now, but now on top of that, you've got this Mike Johnson, you know, Speaker of the House guy. He is basically saying, he declined to say whether he believes Newsom should be arrested. However, he did say that he should be tarred and feathered. He said this. He said that the governor of California should be tarred and feathered. Now, I'm gonna delve into this for a second in case there are listeners out there that don't know what tar and feathering is, because it's been a while. It's a form of public torture where a victim is stripped naked or stripped to the waist, while wood tar, which is sometimes hot, is either poured or painted onto the person. The victim then either has feathers thrown on them for some reason, or is rolled around on a pile of feathers so that they stick to the tar.
It can kill you.
It can kill you. Although I was kind of surprised that it's not designed to kill you, but it can. And I don't know who came up with this idea. It's a bizarre idea. But it was used to enforce unofficial justice or revenge. It was used in medieval Europe and its colonies in the early modern period, as well as the early American frontier. So it's no secret that that's what Mike Johnson would gravitate towards. But, you know, to basically degrade any kind of dialogue by calling for such things, it's insane. It tells you how crazy these people actually are. And it's just, you realize they are unhinged.
The labels may have changed, but America is still a plantation. They want to master and reign supreme over us.
Yeah, well, you could spell master pretty easily with MAGA.
Mm-hmm.
Just replace the G with an S, and, well, I'm not going to help them.
What else you got?
Okay, so we haven't talked about this, but the National Guard called in by Trump, basically federalized. National Guard is run by states. However, they can be run by the president if he decides to do that.
Okay, so this is interesting. I learned, there's Title 32 mm-hmm. and Title 10. Title 10 is when the president takes control. Title 32 is when the governor takes control of the state National Guard. And that's the interplay at hand. And what's happened is that federal law has superseded. I believe it was April 28th. There was an executive order. President Trump, said, made an executive order that he can take hold or whatever call up these forces for whatever whim. It also goes back to, 2007, I can't remember his name. One of the post 9/11 acts where presidential power was the ability to declare martial law in different circumstances and or call up guardsmen without governor's approval. That's what the state of California is basically going to run up against, because their only recourse is to sue Title 32 or Title 10 powers were superseded by Title 10 powers of the executive.
Well, this has happened before, though. In 1965, it happened. Except the feds were the good guys then. They were the ones that sent the National Guard in to protect a civil rights march in Selma to Montgomery. Basically, they were in fear for their lives. And to protect them against the inevitable violence, President Johnson invoked his legal authority to activate and deploy the National Guard without the cooperation of the state's governor. That is the last time it happened. Against George Wallace of Alabama, one of the nation's most prominent racists and segregationists. So think about that. Think about the magnitude of that. That you have to go back 60 years to when this happened last, and the circumstances were completely different. Now you have a president that is nationalizing the National Guard to basically strike down the powers of the governor and the mayor and the people who are trying to keep the situation under control. And, you know, doing as good a job as they can. Well, yeah, it's chaos. That's what it is. But he's, you know, sending in cops, and they're doing the things that cops do.
But the perpetrators of this are feds
mm-hmm.
in a state, and they're now deploying more feds to fight or otherwise put down opposition to more feds. So they're trying to double down with their powers, even though they are the catalyst for the backlash, for the protest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the states are saying, like, whoa, 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 we didn't even have a chance to exercise our ability, local ability, to manage our own people.
Because they're Democrats.
Because of your federal action.
Because they're Democrats. That's why they're being treated this way.
That's right.
Yeah. So, basically, Trump brushing them aside, bringing these National Guard people under his command, and now also the Marines. The Marines. I think there's 700 of them now that are being released into Los Angeles.
Yeah, I don't think they use non-lethal weapons.
No, they certainly don't. Now, this has happened before. 1992, Rodney King riots. The Marines were sent in, but that was at the request of the governor, and I believe the mayor as well. And there were actual riots going on. Buildings were burning. People were dying. None of that is happening here. These are demonstrations against inhumane raids, breaking up families, things that people should demonstrate against. And what the Federalized National Guard and the Marines are being told to do is to prevent anyone from interfering with ICE raids or harassing the ICE jackbooted thugs that are out there. That's what they will be focusing their attention on. And that's what's scary. That's what's scary, because that's the thing that's outraging people. And if they continue doing this, if they continue having these raids and intimidating people like this, there is going to be more of a reaction. Look, people of Los Angeles, they are not cowards. They're not going to shrink from this. They're going to show up. They're showing up today. It's a Tuesday. They're still there. They're not going anywhere. I don't know when these idiots are going to get it through their thick skulls that if they keep doing what they're doing, the opposition is simply going to get stronger and stronger. And now, military parade on Saturday, perfect. That's, you've given us even more to object to be outraged at, to get even more people on this side. So, yeah, this it's not being done in a very smart way,
I think
you're seeing the fruit.
Yeah, I mean, it was hard for me even to hear Karen Bass sharing her dismay about graffiti. Like, come on.
She has
on.
To. Look, I
no,
get
I know,
that. She's
I know.
A mayor. She has to.
I totally understand the position she's in, but that is the least of her concerns.
And
at this
she
point.
Has basically said that by saying these raids have to stop. She did
Absolutely.
Not back
That's
up
true.
On that.
That's
and
true.
There are plenty of Democrats who would.
But,
there are plenty of Democrats who would completely give themselves over and say, yeah, before we do anything, we have to stop the graffiti. And they will just lose it. And we've seen so many Democrats do that, they just turn into cowards.
Yeah, shifting the blame. I'm all tied up here in my words. But, yeah, I totally understand. But the expectation that there isn't going to be more graffiti, there should be 10 times as much graffiti. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised.
Graffiti never killed anyone.
It's not...
Well,
lethal,
actually,
but the implication...
If you fall off okay.
But the implication of the regime controlling this is the Marines will prevent, at all cost, the continuation of the very instigator, the very catalyst, the reason people are protesting. And that, to my mind, when you're talking Marines, that's like, that's lethal force. That's people saying, we will protect our ends, what we deem is just, no matter what. And that gauntlet, I don't, that's tough to accept, because then you're talking about death. You're talking about hospitals being overrun with injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is the logical extent is not good.
Worse than that, you're talking about Marines firing on American citizens.
Well, exactly. And that's what I'm implying, is that they're, the language from the leadership, and I'm going to get to one other point about this, the language from them is nothing short of inflammatory. They are saying that, the tarred and feather reference. Tom Holman?
Holman, yeah.
Yeah, that turkey. He is so wildly incorrect in the modeling of this. His whole thing is being inflammatory and striking fear and making everyone else wrong. and he's feigning all this surprise that there's pushback and deriding everybody who has every right to be opposed to this, and basically local people too. Like, you're invading states, entire communities, cities, and you are surprised or you expect compliance. It's, again, it must be tough to run his type of plantation when there's unrest. And the point I was going to get to with that is, like, yeah, they're going about it with that kind of rhetoric and then acting surprised is galling. But the actions that they're instigating and that are resulting in this level of protest by people is entirely their doing. The feds doing the raids and the feds going to put down protests are at the complete and utter direction of the executive branch. That is President Donald Trump. That is his fault. Every last bit of all of this, all the blood, all the graffiti, all the burnt Waymos are on his tiny little hands.
Wow. Well, that is a justified critique, I think, that you've given. But what you also did was you, if I have my records straight here, you referred to White House Borders or Tom Homan as a quote-unquote turkey. And now we have a meeting scheduled for after the show to discuss that with management.
Yeah, right.
Let me tell you another story. This ABC News correspondent, Terry Morin, has been let go from ABC. This just happened. Now, you might recall, he's the guy that challenged Trump when Trump was basically saying that the Photoshop letters of MS-13 on somebody's fist were real. And he said, no, you can see the letters are there. And the reporter was, yeah, that's Photoshop. And, you know, would not yield that point because obviously it's Photoshop. And basically asked questions. Well, now he's been fired. And you know why he's been fired? Because he labeled a Nazi as a Nazi. Well, no, he didn't even do that. Okay, I don't want to say this name, but I have to say this name. Stephen Miller. Yeah, he was talking about Stephen Miller, and he in a Twitter post, X post, whatever you want to call it, Morin referred to Stephen Miller as a world-class hater. Look, that's getting off light, okay? This guy is the personification of everything that is evil. I say Nazi, it doesn't even begin to cover it. This person is so filled with hatred that all of this going on now, all the turmoil, the fear, the panic, that's not enough for him. He wants 10 times more. I saw a report where he's yelling at people within ICE that they're not arresting enough people. They need to arrest 10 times more. This guy is out of his damn mind. And a reporter calls him on it, calls him a world-class hater. What else would you call this guy? Look at him. Look at the way he talks. Look at the way he views other people that don't agree with him, let alone if they're citizens of the country or not. He is so filled with hatred. You know, if I cared about him, I would worry about him.
No, he's a psychopath.
He is a psychopath, thank you. Very psychopath with a capital P. And all the other letters, too, because he's a psychopath.
He's obsessed. So, he's completely obsessed and has nothing but ill will for everyone. Anyone that questions him, and anybody, they are drunk on power.
So, you know, here at WUSB, we are not ABC News. We can criticize people without fear of retribution. And Kyle, there is no meeting after the show, just so you know.
Good. Yeah, they know who I am.
I know you were trembling. We can speak our minds, and it's encouraged, and it's a good thing. But not in corporate America. You're not allowed to do that in corporate America. You criticize the powers that be, you're out. You see how it works? We are at the end.
I don't want to be here in the first time. No, I'm just kidding. Go on. I'm listening.
Wow. We are at the end of our agreement with Terry Morin, and based on his recent post, which was a clear violation of ABC News policies, what, to have an opinion? We have made the decision to not renew. At ABC News, we hold all of our reporters to the highest standards of objectivity, fairness, and professionalism, and we remain committed to delivering straightforward, trusted journalism.
No, you don't. And you want to know why? Because you got rid of him.
Yeah. Yeah. People have opinions. People express themselves. And, you know, if... Okay, let's say he was interviewing Kim Jong-un. Would you object if he referred to Kim Jong-un as a murderer? Well, by this standard, you would. You know, it goes outside your policy to criticize somebody.
Well, whatever. ABC News is not news.
I mean, Hitler? Well, look, it's a major news organization. Unfortunately, it is.
Self-styled, yeah. And I'm sure they are.
I wish Democracy Now! Was on that level where everybody listened every single day. I wish we had Vice News back because they did a damn good job. But, you know, people who are opposed to the mainstream media can act idiotic, too, and not support the things that are definitely alternatives. And please, don't make that mistake. Support alternative media. And you can define that however you wish. Right now, we define it as WUSB, WUSB.FM. Go there, you know, support it however you can. Donate as much as you can because, you know, free speech is something that is obviously on the firing line.
Well, I just think that the heavy-handedness here is denying a reporter an ability to be off the clock.
Yeah.
And I think there should be some allowance for people to be human and to have opinions. And if you have a personal social media account and it's not something that is, you know, published by your organization and presumably edited, I think that there should be some, I don't know, let's say allowance, some wiggle, I don't want to say wiggle room, but like a little bit of give. Because not everyone gets it right all the time, and people have personal lives. So if you're a journalist and your personal comments are somehow held under scrutiny, how do you get to be a person ever?
Absolutely.
Like, you get to go home at a certain time and not work all the time, presumably.
All right, we're out of time. The story I wanted to get to that we didn't get to, but you know what? The headline says it all. ICE agents mistakenly detain U.S. Marshal in Arizona. Look it up. there's a lot there. There are so many crazy and I guess funny things going on at the same time. But, you know, I want to go out with a song that's 51 years old. 1974 this came out. And it's from a native Long Islander, Billy Joel. You know, we're all Los Angelinos in the end. And these lyrics just, they say it so well. And it was here all the time. And I completely forgot about this song. Los Angelinos all come from somewhere because it's all so easy to become acquainted. Tanning out in the beaches with their Mexican reefers, no one ever has to feel like a refugee. That's going to do it for us tonight. OTW at 2600.com is our email address.
Oh, wait, I thought the show was next hour. No. I was just talking before the show with you, right?
Yeah, we gotta.
Yeah, we gotta be on air.
This was the practice.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I love community radio.
We will see you next time. Please stay awake, stay safe.
See ya.
Bye.